Just behave yourselves and act like men.
Now you start using your head. That's not love. That's 3 feet above your ass.
People will come, Ray.
All right, don't try to strike everybody out. Strikeouts are boring. Besides that, they're fascist.
We don't stink right now.
You play ball like a girl!
You're out of here!
There's no crying in baseball!
High fly ball into right field. She is gone!
This is West Coast Bias.
Dynamite drop in, Monty. That broadcast school has really paid off.
Thank you for joining us once again. I am Adam Nelson.
And I am Samuel Paul, and this is West Coast Bias Baseball Podcast. And
It's a hot one. It's hot.
It is. The dog days of summer have arrived. We are almost 2 weeks into August, and the pennant race is heating up, especially the National League wild card.
Yeah, the Central is looking. Yeah, the wild card. You're right. That is true. Remember to email us at baseballshowpodcast@gmail.com. You're right. We got a lot going on. I didn't think we had that much, but the more we unravel, the more it seems like we do.
Well, there's always something to talk about, and it has been 2 weeks since our last recording.
Something like that, but who's counting? And look, if you want to get right into it, I mean, if you want to talk about the wild card, because I'm assuming since you're wearing a San Francisco Giants,
I'm always
t-shirt
wearing a Giants
right now,
t-shirt.
Right, that you have some skin in this game, but do you?
Well, you know, it was a long shot to begin with. After the trade deadline, you know, they kept their two big pieces that we thought that they would and most definitely should trade away. Both Will Smith and Madison Bumgarner
right.
are still Giants.
I know. That's very strange to me, but
it is to me too.
I think emotion prevailed, and you guys are worse off for it. So congratulations.
They did make some moves right at the deadline.
They
got rid of they only got rid of one player, but that was long after the deadline happened. The Mets' new second baseman Joe Panik was DFA'd a few days ago after Scooter Gennett joined
right.
the team, hit a couple doubles, a home run.
It's a huge improvement. I mean, the fact that Joe Panik still had a job is baffling to me, considering the talent that is out there.
They didn't
strength.
Really have anyone immediate to replace him. So once they acquired Scooter Gennett from the Reds, the writing was on the wall.
Literally, and just a replacement player, as the stat of WAR goes. I mean, literally anybody in their system probably would have been better than Panik. I don't really understand. And the fact that now the Mets got rid of Echeverria to put Panik in there is a little shocking too. But Panik is from Queens, and
right.
in fact, he played the very first game at Citi Field before the Mets ever did in high school. Right. So, St. John's. Yeah.
And his, remember, in his rookie year, he had been struggling. Road trip to New York and playing the Mets, and Joe Panik came alive, and he really
right.
didn't slow down for another 2 years, and then he really slowed down.
he had
312 one year, became an all-star.
Your opinion, man.
306 the next year.
Real.
And he was looking like he could be a perennial 300 hitter, and then he got hurt, and he never really was quite the same.
Yeah. I mean, you know, his strikeouts were usually pretty low. I'd say that's the best thing I could see in his stat line. But since he cleared waivers, the Giants will have to pick up the remainder of his 2019 salary. And the Mets will pay a prorated portion of the league minimum or whatever, which is like 150 grand. So, you know, maybe it's win-win for them. I mean, the Mets are doing great.
They are. They're on a hot streak of hot streaks right now.
They are. After last night's walk-off, 7-6 stunner over the... who are they playing?
I don't pay close enough attention to the Mets to know who they were playing.
But yeah, it was their 14th win out of 15 games. They're now 60-56 and are tied with Philly and St. Louis, putting them a half a game behind the second wild card spot. Now, look, on paper, the Mets look great. I mean, I don't understand why they were struggling so bad to begin with. I have Mets. Four Mets on my fantasy team. I mean, I got Alonso, Conforto. Edwin Diaz, okay, sure. He hasn't been the Edwin Diaz of old or even last year. But Jeff McNeil, I mean, he's the current batting champ as far as I know, right? And I'm pretty sure he still is.
He's right up there.
I mean, you know, yeah, it's, you know, Ramos. I mean, they got a great team. Plus, JD, what's this other JD guy? I don't know. He's mashing. I don't know. The team's great. Plus, they have, you know, two of
Syndergaard,
the best, yeah, the best 1-2.
DeGrom, yeah.
In the East. I mean, I don't know how they struggled as much as they did. So maybe this is just the law of baseball averages catching up.
It could very well be.
Because they're surging. And they now, with panic, now they're just going to win it all.
Oh, yeah. Probably most definitely. Yeah, I can see that happening, sure. Stranger things have happened, but I don't think either of us had the Mets really in the postseason with our bold predictions.
No, not in the postseason. J.D. Davis. Sorry. I couldn't think of that name for some reason. There's too many J.D.s out there. Speaking of, I just picked up Hunter Dozier off the waiver wire because somebody dropped him, which is very strange. And so now I have the holy trinity of Hunters. I have Hunter Renfroe, Hunter Pence, and now Hunter Dozier. Now, is this enough to propel me up
to
the victory?
You need to get the Washington Nationals reliever. You need to get Hunter Strickland.
I don't really want Hunter Strickland.
Blame you.
You suck, McMahon!
He's not really my favorite. Plus, his broken hand, notwithstanding, he's... yeah.
He's not currently broken.
You're right, though. Is there another Hunter out there?
I'm sure there is.
Hunter, remember the TV show Hunter?
No.
Well, you know, it started off on a sad note. Nelson Cruz is out, and that's just really bumming me out because the guy's just been mashing. In fact, he's been having a historical post-All-Star break season. I mean, he was doing great before, but he started really turning it on. In his first 100 plate appearances after the All-Star break, he's laced 16 home runs. That's damn near unprecedented, and ties the all-time record, actually, set by McGuire in 99, which, you know, was the year, so he was just unconscious. But that's it. Only two players have ever done that. And Hank Greenberg had 15 in 38, and Albert Bell had 15 in 98. But, I mean, just unreal. And now he's out again with left wrist strain. They said it might even been a tear. I hope not. We'll see. Still waiting on that. I mean, he already missed a month of the season already with the wrist strain. So I don't know. I saw him holding a bat. So hopefully he can, play through it. I don't know. I mean, it's always scary to see a guy play through an injury, especially when he's in his mid-30s and he's a power hitter. Because, you know, you can see, I don't know if you saw the swing and miss. He struck out, but then you could tell immediately he felt pain in his wrist.
No, I did not see that.
It's tough, man. I have him on. I have him in my fantasy league, and it's brutal.
Yeah,
it's brutal because he was just. I mean, he was just going crazy, just hitting everything. He had the 2-3 homer games in like 1 week, and then he had another 2 homer game. And
when fantasy turns into a nightmare, I don't know.
Well, I guess it could be. But look, the Giants have a tough schedule ahead.
And they do.
And this is what we talked about before the trade deadline, which is why it just seems so myopic and silly to me that that the Giants wouldn't just stay with the plan that they had at the beginning of the season.
Well, you know, it also could very well be that they didn't get a good enough offer for Bumgarner.
I am incredulous. I cannot believe that the Yankees wouldn't give up or have given up anybody in their system. Maybe not active roster guys, but I mean, maybe a guy like Luke Voit. I mean, it seems hard to believe that they wouldn't have made it a pretty offer, a nice, tight little offer wrapped in a bow to get arguably the best postseason pitcher, certainly in the modern era, and in a time when the Yankees are going to win the East, probably outright, but aren't going to have any pitching to get through the whole postseason.
Right, especially now looking at the pickup of the Astros of Greinke.
Oh, the Yankees aren't going to be able to. I mean, it'll come down to home field advantage, I guess, just like last year, right?
And the year before.
Right, and the Astros barely squeaked out. I mean, if the Yankees had home field against the Astros that year,
yeah.
The Astros didn't win one game in New York.
Right.
But it looks like the Astros probably will, although, you know, you never know. But even if the Yankees have home field with no starting pitching,
yeah.
I mean, what are they going to do? I find it hard to believe that they didn't or wouldn't have given up anybody.
Yeah,
the Giants wanted.
And they really, the Yankees were very quiet at the deadline. They really didn't do too much at all to speak of.
Right. Stroman didn't even go. Stroman ended up going to Queens, which is pretty surprising, but he's been doing great with them. So with the Mets, that is. It seems crazy to me. Again, well, you know, it's great for the Dodgers because the Yankees are weaker and the Giants are probably weaker, although they're a little bit better because they have Scooter Gennett. So,
right.
And they got rid of Dyson right at the right time, too. He blew up and then fell apart.
I did see that. It was pretty amazing. But, the Giants have definitely have a tough road ahead of them, but they're playing all, if not most, of the teams that are ahead of them in the wild card
now. Right. And that's good and bad.
It is good and bad. I mean, that means if they really are going to make the postseason, they've got to prove it against the teams that they got to beat anyway.
Currently, they are four games back of the wild card. Their postseason odds are now down to 1.7%.
So you're telling me there's a chance.
but you're right. There's a bunch of teams to jump in the wild card hunt, and they're going to be taking aim at the Central. I mean, they got the Cubs, the Cardinals, and the Brewers, and their four-game set against St. Louis at the beginning of September will be their last opportunity. If their head isn't above water by September 2nd, or I guess September 5th at the end of that series, it's good night. I mean, you could probably already tuck yourself in now, I would imagine.
Yeah, well, I mean, I would like to think that there's still a chance, but I've been prepared for a sub-500 season all year.
I'm a bit happy on the trigger today.
So. I can hear that.
Did you see what's going to happen August 13th of 2020?
August 13th of 2020? No, I did not. This is the Field of Dreams.
Yes,
I did see that.
People will come, Ray.
That's going to happen. It's happening. It's going to be White Sox and the Yankees.
That makes sense, I suppose.
Hey, sound familiar. Is this heaven?
No.
No.
This is Iowa.
It's Iowa.
Well, that was not Ray Liotta. That was
Kevin Costner.
No. I mean, yeah, but that was not Ray Liotta asking. That was Aaron Judge. That was from the most recent promo. It's going to fit about 8,000 seats, I think. It's not going to be on the exact field, but it's going to be about 100 yards away. They're building a new one. They're going to construct some small seating around the cornfield. I guess the cornfield is going to just be the outside. I don't know where they're going to put the seats. I guess on the side.
I think on the sides. I did see an artist rendering of what it's going to look like. It looks like a smaller version of your typical, I shouldn't say it that way. I should say it looks like a grander version of a typical Little League-style field.
Yeah. I mean, full dimensions, of course.
Full dimension, full Major League dimensions, but, right. be very limited seating, but, a big structure to be able to move people in and out, big grandstand, and then down both lines.
I would love to go to that game.
It would be a lot of fun.
I don't know. I mean, it's going to be friends and family, probably, and Iowans, I guess.
West Coast bias field trip next August.
Oh, I'm going to try. I would love to. I mean,
Well, let's
also be the first Major League Baseball game in Iowa ever. Right. So, and it's in, I mean, the middle of nowhere. I think the Des Moines airport's like 3.5 hours away, so there's probably like a hotel, maybe two. It's right. Actually, the closest hotel I already looked is already fully booked for next year.
No doubt, but let's make it happen.
Fancy. How fancy.
I would love to do it.
It would be.
Even if it is the Yankees. But it is cool that it is the White Sox because, of course, Shoeless Joe and the...
Right.
And that whole lineage. Now, where does Field of Dreams stand on your altar of baseball movies?
Altar of baseball movies? Oh, that it's definitely top three.
Really?
Yeah. I like that movie a lot. There's nothing I don't like about that movie.
I agree. I do, too.
It's well cast, well acted, and a phenomenal story.
Now, a lot of people have a problem with Kevin Costner.
I don't understand those people.
I never had. I mean, I get it, but I don't, you know, okay, Kevin Costner in Robin Hood, Prince of Thieves, when he's the only guy not doing a British accent, that's okay. But hey, I still kind of like that, honestly.
I do.
I'd almost prefer Robin Hood being American.
Well, maybe his English accent was just so bad, they just said, don't worry about it.
He also went to my university as well. So, yeah. And he's a huge baseball fan. Yeah, so, you know, what's not to obvious. Like?
He's done like two. He's done what, like three different baseball movies? In his career,
at least. Right? I mean, three off the top of my head, there's probably at least four. No, yeah. What about the Draft Day one? What was that? Was that football? That was most recently.
I think that was football.
Was that football? Yeah. He's like a sports agent. It
definitely is sports.
For the Love of the Game.
For Love of the Game.
Which is
Bull Durham.
Which we have in the Field of intro. Dreams,
right.
Yeah. Yeah.
What other baseball movies?
I feel like there's another one. Scream at us at baseballshowpodcast@gmail.com. Let us know. I don't have time to go through the IMDb. I'm excited. I think you're right. I think just because I was young and I was a prime age when that came out, and you know, it's like a father son kind of movie.
Oh, most definitely.
So,
is.
You know, chicks need not apply. Chicks don't really understand that movie, I don't think. I mean, I think
they
get it, but
they get it, but it's not a baseball movie for women as A League of Their Own.
Well,
would
right.
Be.
Right, and that's a great movie.
Yeah.
You don't have to be a woman to appreciate that movie. But let's try to there we go. No, I don't have it. Whoops. All right. Anyway.
You're out of here!
There we go. There we go. That's from League of Their Own. Jeez. Wow, we are slow on the gun tonight. So Major League, even though it's it has aged quite racistly, but...
only because of Chief Wahoo, but... Yes, hi. We're a Major League Baseball team. Sometimes we aren't recognized, even in our own hometown.
What else? Yeah, I mean, Bull Durham, just because it gives you a great outsider perspective. Yeah. You know, not a lot of people make that movie. There was a really good movie called Sugar. About 10 years ago, it was about, I don't know if you saw that.
Mm-mm.
It's about Dominican ball and a young kid coming to the States and sort of just following him and seeing. And it's based on true story. I think the guy's Sugar Santos. I think that's what his name is. Don't quote me on that.
I'll have to check that one. I haven't seen
it. Yeah, it was really good. But yeah, I mean, all
put
the
up there ones. The Sandlot.
Sandlot,
so
sure.
Good one. And I'm a big fan of The Natural as well.
Natural. Yeah, definitely. That's hard to beat. That's, in fact, that's where all these back cracks come from, I think.
Yeah.
All right. I'm running up the rails here a little bit. I don't know what's going on. The Giants have a tough schedule. I'm done with that, though. Chris Sale becomes the fourth person to have 200 strikeouts in 7 straight seasons. Now, who else is on that list? They got 7. There's one guy that has 9. There's nobody that has 8. And there's four guys that have 7 consecutive seasons of 200 Ks or more.
I know we're talking about this, so I know, of course, number one is Tom Seaver.
Tom Seaver with 9, yeah. He's in a category of his own right there. But who else has 7?
Those is 7 being Nolan Ryan.
Yeah, no. Nolan Ryan, no.
Nolan Ryan is not on that list.
So. No, I know. I had to look it up because I was in a bit of a disbelief myself, but no. He has like 9 out of 10 seasons where he has way more than 200, but then there's like, well, a season in there, you know.
Right.
He only has like 180 or something, you know, maybe some injury season or something. But no, The Rocket, he's definitely on there.
Of course, The Rocket.
We have another modern Rocket. Max Scherzer is on there. And one man named Walter Johnson.
Walter Johnson.
Now, Walter Johnson has been coming up a little bit, even though he doesn't, you know, pitch over 100 years ago.
Really?
But Walter Johnson and Justin Verlander, what's the connection here? Well, Verlander has been downright unhittable this season. In fact, he's allowed the fewest hits per 9 in the entire sport at a mere 5.42. Now, that being said, he's also leading the majors in home runs allowed, which is...
Really?
Yeah, pretty insane with 29. You know, he was obviously a big voice crying against the balls and
right.
Blah, blah, blah. So it's true, you know. So he has the fewest hits, the most home runs. Now, in fact, only 2 pitchers since 1900 have ever done that in any league in the same season. And it's
Walter Johnson
been
is
a
one
while.
Of them.
Yeah. 1913, Walter Johnson. Yeah, hits per 9, 6.03, 9 home runs allowed. But Bob Shockey did it last in 1923.
Wow. So it's still almost 100 years ago.
It's virtually impossible. Yeah, Verlander also holds the American League lead in ERA at 2.68 right now. And you don't see many ERA champs firing up the most home runs in their league either.
So what you're saying is when they hit Verlander, they hit him pretty hard.
Or they're just like solo shots, you know. But right. But they've been going out, exactly. Or they're just swinging and missing. And who else is in that ERA and home run? Walter Johnson. Again, same thing. And his ERA in 1913 was 1.14.
Well, impressive pitchers, both of them. And, you know, Verlander also just made a similar list of seasons with 200 or more home runs in a career.
Really?
With 9 of them.
Wow. So, yeah, definitely not consecutive.
I have
Verlander,
a little bit more on Chris Sale, but I think we'll save that for a little bit later on the show.
Okay. Spoiler alert. Foreshadowing. Okay. All right. Yeah, but what about Verlander? What are you reading over there? What do you got?
Well, yeah, he just made his 9th season of 200 or more home runs. He's the
home
seven,
runs.
Or, home runs. I've been saying home runs. I got home runs on my mind.
You're a goddamn.
No, my brains are a little bit scrambled right now. I'll admit that freely, but. Strikeouts, 200-plus strikeouts in a season for his career. He's the 7th pitcher in Major League Baseball hitter history to do that.
Really? That's it? Only 7?
Only 7. 200-plus with 9 or more 200 strikeout seasons.
Interesting. Do you have the full list there?
I do have the whole the list. And as it turns out, except for Verlander and just one other player... They're all in the Hall of Fame.
Really? Oh, that makes sense.
You would hope that would make sense, yeah. But the list, of course, we already said one name, Tom Seaver.
Of course. With 9? Are you doing
with
the one?
9 or more.
Oh, okay.
Nine or more seasons
right.
of
right.
200
and
plus
did
home
it
runs.
Consecutive seasons, which is insane.
Right, and he had one more. He has a total of 10, but really? He is not number one all time for numbers, but... Of course, Nolan Ryan is top of that list with 15 seasons.
Right.
With
pretty much every season. And most a lot of them are like 300. He has a bunch of 300.
That's why he's the strikeout king.
Right. And the walk king, but still.
And behind him in both of those lists is...
God, wouldn't you have loved to have Nolan Ryan on your fantasy team? Jesus, come
on. That would have been great.
Couldn't we have gone a little longer?
Maybe can he come back for a season? Randy Johnson.
Right.
13.
Sure.
And then, of course, the one who is not in the Hall of Fame, but, you know, probably should be, Roger Clemens.
Right.
He did it 12 times.
Reed. What about Walter Johnson? He's not on that list.
Walter Johnson is not on that list.
A mere 7, like Kershaw.
A mere 7.
He's in Kershaw territory right now.
Kershaw still has a chance to make this list.
Oh, yeah. Oh, he definitely will.
Pedro with 9.
Sure.
And Bob Gibson with 9. Yeah, so the other six that have
what about
done
Koufax?
It.
No, he didn't. No. No, he wasn't dominant long enough. Yeah, it was like a 6-year, 7-year stretch there. Yeah. Or I guess it was like a 9-year stretch.
Well, if he hadn't blown out his elbow, he probably would be on that list.
Right.
But.
Pretty rare air there. It's
definitely an impressive list.
Special territory. Now, what's not special, and what could have been the Ig Nobel Award, but, you know, they've just been getting beat up too much. We kind of feel bad, but it's the Orioles. Now, what the hell is going on with the Orioles? I mean, I know this is West Coast bias, but this isn't even bias. This is just sad.
I would agree. I don't know what's going on with the Orioles. The bottom fell out, and...
Yeah,
I guess
what
they're.
What the hell is supposed to do, you moron?
Yeah, I don't know.
They're on pace possibly be one of the worst teams ever.
Let me break it down for you. Okay, they are on pace to allow 333 home runs this year. That's as many long balls as the Red Sox and Cubs gave up combined last season. If the Orioles keep serving up homers at this rate, they're going to destroy the all-time season home run record. Held by the 2016 Reds.
And they're still right around two home runs a game, right?
200. Okay, so the 2016 Reds gave up 258. Remember Jumbo Diaz and all those guys. So they're on pace to destroy it by 75 homers. That's 29%. Okay, so how crazy is that? Well, according to stats, the last time any team did that much damage to the home runs allowed record was 1884. When Larry Corcoran's fabled White Stockings wound up breaking the record for homers surrendered by a mere 277% from 22 to 83. Now, but okay, just looking at the 20th century, because you know they were playing by some wacky rules back then, we can't find any significant single-season pitching record that was broken by more than 20 or even 15% since, Johnny Padres' 1959 Dodgers. When they spiked the team's strikeout record by 20.2% from 896 to 1,077. And that's set the tone for the 60s, which were coming up, Drysdale and Koufax. But, I mean, it's just insane. And when you break it down, it's even crazier. The Yankees just finished a series earlier this last week, and they're not mercifully, they're not going to be back in Camden Yards this season. the Yankees have 5 games of 5 or more home runs in Baltimore this year.
Wow.
They have 0 games of 5 or more home runs at Yankee Stadium this year. They're feasting in Camden Yards.
So do the Yankees want to like just move operations to Camden Yards for the rest of the year? At least the playoffs, right?
I don't see why not. Yeah. it seems great. I'm sure real estate's cheaper. I mean, it's really good right now. They have 3 consecutive games of 5 or more home runs in Baltimore this week.
This week.
They have 2 consecutive games of 5 or more home runs in Yankee Stadium in 7,452 regular season games at any version of Yankee Stadium.
At any version.
Yeah, 2. So they already have 4.
Oh, my God.
I could continue, but I'll save this one just because... it's actually kind of, it's pretty funny, I guess, the Giants. But the Yankees at Camden Yards this season, 43 home runs in 10 games.
Which is more than the Giants have
at Oracle Park. Yeah. 39 home runs in 56 games.
The lack of power is very sad.
All right, well, if it makes you feel any better, they're not the worst. They're the second worst. The Tigers are actually the worst at Comerica Park with only 37 home runs. And actually, I was writing this last night, and I'm pretty sure, who was it, Pilar? No, Longo just hit a home run. So, hey, you guys are up to 40. Yes. You guys are up to 40. There you go. Good.
There you go. Slowly creeping up. For 10 games at Camden Yards. By the
congratulations, Yippee-oh!
Bronx Bombers for a reason. Well, I mean, speaking of the Tigers are also on a historic bad season pace.
Real.
But in terms of overall record, not necessarily for home runs given up. But
the Orioles are going to have that sealed.
Well, so the worst season in baseball history by the Boston Spiders in 1899. Won 20 games that year. Now there's a little bit of hints of collusion where a lot of stars from that team got funneled to other teams during the year. That contributed to the bad season. But since then, the worst team, of course, was the 1962 Mets. But it looks like the Tigers might finish with a worse record than that team as well. Maybe not. Maybe I think they've won more than 20 games already. But
right. Yeah. No, they're not that bad.
But 1962 Mets might be only the second worst team in the modern baseball era at the end of the season. We'll see what happens. Maybe, you know, there's plenty of baseball left. There's 50 games, 40 games or so left. Maybe they can make a push to improve that record above that mark, but that's in danger.
You would hope so. I'm not going to hold my breath.
No, don't. It's bad for your health to hold your breath.
So Monday night, Target Field, Miguel Sano hits a walk-off homer against the Braves. Okay, that's, you know, not too crazy. The next night, very first pitch, Ronald Acuña Jr. smashes a leadoff home run. Now, how often do you see a series in which one game ends on a last pitch homer, the next game starts on a first pitch homer?
I'm sure that hasn't happened too often.
Well, in the 32 seasons since they've been counting pitches, the sort of pitch count era, so to speak, it's happened once, one other time.
Wow.
Orioles-Angels series, September 2006. Adam Kennedy hits a walk-off, and then Brian Roberts, first pitch leadoff home run the next day. Adam Kennedy. Forgot about that name.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, he was pretty good.
He was pretty good.
I don't know. I thought that was weird. It was a little strange. It was
a walk-off home run is a rare thing, and a leadoff home run, unless your name is Ricky Henderson, is a rare thing.
Right, that's true. How about Bo? How about all the kids? Bo Bichette. I mean, he homers.
Bo Bichette. He's already got a WAR higher than his father.
No, he doesn't. Like that can't be true.
He had nine consecutive games with a double.
Yeah, no, nobody in history has ever done that.
Right.
And he had a home run in that same game. But the home run in the fifth of that 12-6 loss, his fourth and the first at Rogers Center, he extended his streak of extra base hits to nine games, making him the first rookie since Ted Williams in 1939 to accomplish this feat. Like you said, in the sixth inning, he doubled to extend his streak of two baggers to nine games as well, the longest stretch the majors has ever seen. It also helped him become the first player to get 13 extra base hits in his first 11 games. It also gave him a hit in all 12 big league games he has played, extending the longest streak to begin a career in franchise history. It's the third longest streak by a player 21 or younger, behind Rocco Baldelli, who hit 13 straight in 03, and Eddie Murphy, not Eddie Murray, who had a 12-game streak to start his career in 1912. Bo Bichette's career WAR is 0.9. Let's see, Dante Bichette's. I can't imagine he has a higher. Dante Bichette has a career 5.7, if that makes you feel any better. So it's a bit tongue-in-cheek, I get it, but 5.7 for his career. I feel like I remember Dante Bichette being a little bit better than that, but maybe not.
Dante Bichette was a good player.
He's a career .299 hitter.
Yeah, nothing against, but I mean, it definitely is tongue-in-cheek, but it's still kind of interesting. I mean, this guy looks like the real deal. This kid looks like the real deal. It's really quite amazing and remarkable to have three rookies that are sons of really good major leaguers.
Two out of three Hall of Famers.
All doing really well.
Right.
On the same team. Is even crazier, and looks like they're all having fun, and
That's true.
You know, I mean, these kids are going to be fun to watch and invest in their rookie cards now.
Is it the shoes?
I don't know. It's the jeans, I think.
The jeans?
Pun intended.
Yeah.
That was pretty bad. Okay.
Jeans with a G.
I apologize. I apologize for that one.
Yeah. Don't anger Chewbacca.
Now, just to keep pouring salt on the wounds, you know, Harper was 8 for his last 42 coming into San Francisco. He's been 190.
This dude made a mistake signing for the Phillies. He should be.
He should be
a Giant. He should be smashing balls like that for the Giants. This the size of Oracle Park does not intimidate him.
No.
Whatever, he would not be diminished in his numbers by playing. By playing in San Francisco.
You know, this is a city of sin. This is basically Sodom and Gomorrah, as far as he's concerned. Coming where he comes from. So
what,
I can
Las
see,
Vegas?
Well,
the city that actually is nicknamed Sin City?
That is actually pretty ironic.
And it is ironic. And there is a big Mormon community here in the Bay Area. So, you know, I think it comes down to taxes more than anything.
Ooh, that's interesting. That's interesting.
He gets to keep more of that money by being in Pennsylvania than in California.
It's gonna catch up to him with his diet. You know, he could have had a much better diet out here, and he could have been feasting on fastballs as well,
and not getting the overrated chant.
Both of his home runs Friday night were over 400. One of the splash hits was like 440.
Yeah, 454. Right?
Now, it wasn't as far as Max Muncy's, of course, which may be the farthest since 2002. Bryce, you know, I don't know. Bryce, why didn't you come to San Francisco?
That's a clown question, bro.
Well, I mean, it might be, but you still could have made a lot of money. And he actually would have made more money here if those rumors of offers were accurate. But anyway. He likes it here, and we'll see. I'm sure he'll get like a ninth inning home run to take the lead.
Well, he's already popped out twice today, so we'll see.
Well, yeah, and then they start chanting overrated. And then he'll put one in the water again, I guess. Cleveland gets their 70th win and share of first place. What the hell happened? It's insane. What a difference.
They woke up
a month.
I don't know. Yeah,
or 2 months for that matter. I mean, they've won 36 of the 41 games in which Jose Ramirez has driven in at least one run. So, as Ramirez has been getting hot lately, finally, right? Team follows.
Yeah.
Today they have a chance to gain sole possession of first. Their 6-2 victory over Minnesota last night at Target Field took care of the Twins' lead in the American League Central, as Cleveland and the Twins are now tied. Sharing first for the first time since April 27th. 2 months ago, the Indians were 11.5 games behind the Twins. Since the start of June, the Indians put up the best record in baseball, winning 42 out of 59 games. So
it's pretty remarkable.
They lose Trevor Bauer.
Right.
But they gain Puig, who's just been tearing it up. They gain Franmil Reyes, who's just always, you know, a huge threat at the plate. I don't know what they're doing. And again, Ramirez goes, so does the team. But wow, I mean, I'm gonna have to eat my words because earlier, a couple months ago, I was just like, I don't see how they're even going to compete.
Right. Well, bats wake up, good things happen.
It's true.
Giants showed that during July.
Well, yeah, I guess you're right. Yeah. Short lived, but you guys were probably your own worst enemies in that case. But as soon as the trade deadline ends, it's just a steep, steep descent down.
It seems to have been, yeah. But
Jose Ramirez is hitting .344, 18 doubles, 1 triple, 11 homers, and 36 ribbies since June 21st. Wow. This is going to be a really fun September.
It really is. There's going to be a lot of great baseball, a lot of great
especially if you're Dodger
on.
Fans, but if you're baseball fans in general, yeah.
Well, I don't think it's going to be much different from the Dodger fans at all. I mean,
last,
they've been in first
place
for the majority of the season. They're going to be in first place for the rest of the season, and they're still going to lose in the last game of the World Series.
Be in first place the rest of the century. I know. I hear you. I get it.
This century, good luck with that. Clever girl. Still won't get a World Series ring.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Would you care to make a wager, a friendly wager right now?
A friendly wager? Well, I already told
1,200
you.
1,200 people listening.
I already told a couple, uh, uh, couple episodes ago that the Dodgers were going to lose to the Yankees in Game 7 of the World Series. I already told you that. So if you want to put a wager down on it, we can come up with something.
Oh, yeah. I would love to. But
it doesn't matter if it's going to be the Yankees or the Astros. They'll still lose.
Well, how about you supply all the beer for the entire next season? If you lose, and if I lose, then I'll continue to be supplying all the beer. All
right, that works for me.
Hoo-ah! Ooh, I got all the hoo-ahs today. Now, there's a crazy thing, but can you imagine that there is any park left in the American League that Mike Trout has not hit a home run in?
I would believe the National League, but not the American League.
Right. Well, in the American League, there is still one park left that
really?
Trout does not have a home run. And, coincidentally, he's playing there right now. And,
really?
I don't have the game on.
Is wait, Fenway
Sadly,
Park?
Sadly, we're watching the Giants game. But yeah, Fenway Park, exactly. Where Pujols just made quick work of that park yesterday. Smashing a three-run home run. But Trout is still homerless in that park. And that's a baby park, let's be honest. I don't know how he has it.
I don't know if it's necessarily a baby park, but there are...
I'm going to quote Puig. That's a baby park.
Okay. You know...
Especially for a righty.
It is... Well, you got that short... High porch.
It's so short.
They're over the monster. as a great place to watch a ball game. The fans aren't so necessarily pleasant, but
I've heard that.
But you know, maybe he'll hit his home run today. But
he should.
Had an couple interesting notes about. This particular series one. You like round numbers?
I do. Who doesn't?
Well, ran across this. Albert Pujols, after last night's game, has some nice round numbers. Is worth exactly 100 in B WAR.
Wow.
This is for his career.
Get the triple digit WAR. There you go, Albert.
650 home runs.
Really?
And...
Wow.
A career batting average of exactly 300.
Well, I hate to break it to you, but he now has 651 home runs.
Oh, really? He hit a home run already today?
Apparently.
Wow. Great. Yeah. Good for him.
I know. Well, and his WAR is now 100.1.
So this was as of this morning before the game started.
Or possibly currently, yeah. He is hitting 300, though, right on the money, just like you said.
The other thing, there was a... Interesting, I don't know how interesting, an event during batting practice, I guess, yesterday. Shohei Ohtani.
Oh, another Japanese guy making BP.
Making BP a
legend.
Little bit. Yeah. So there is a seat out in right field, 502 feet from home plate.
Okay.
That is painted red among sea of green. Red Sox red.
Right.
It marks the supposed spot of the longest home run ever hit at Fenway Park by Ted Williams.
Really?
And you looked this up to see the details. You said that Big Poppy didn't think that it was possible.
Big Poppy would always be like, that's not possible. And he even tried one time with a metal bat to hit that spot. Didn't even come close. So up until, I guess, now, everybody just sort of thought, unless people were at that game.
It was legend. This is Red Sox legend. Yeah,
right.
Ted Williams hit it there. That's the seat that it landed on. So yesterday, batting practice, Shohei Ohtani hit the row below that seat. Nearly hitting it, a couple feet away from hitting that very seat. So it strengthens that it might have actually done it for real.
Wow.
That was weird, wild stuff. I didn't.
That's pretty crazy. I mean, if anybody could do it, it's going to be Shohei. Although, you would probably think it would be somebody maybe like Bryce Harper or somebody who just puts all... when Harper swings, it looks like he's putting everything into it. When Ohtani swings, it looks pretty, kind of like a... like a Michael Brantley swing, just compact and just
right, just fluid, effortless, nice good, lefty flat, swing. Yeah,
that's insane. No, I saw the picture of that. It doesn't even make sense.
Yeah,
I mean, even
it's
with a metal
way
bat,
the heck out there.
That's like video hitting, game.
It's baseball. like hitting the glove at Oracle Park out there at 501 feet. No one's come anywhere near that.
Bonds never got that close.
Oh, no.
I mean, he's
McGuire
a lefty.
Never got that close. McGuire's gotten the closest out of anyone. But no one's come close to touching that.
Yeah, that's. I've always wanted to see that. I guess I never will.
Well,
what happens if somebody
never
hits
say
that?
Never? This game is full of things that are never supposed to happen.
What happens if somebody hits that glove? Do they get free jeans for life?
I don't think anyone. I don't think anything happens. I think they get pat on the back and legend forever.
For no, that's kind of weak. Well, although yeah,
I mean,
guess you're right.
Maybe there's some
you go
sort
down
of
in history. Thing. Yeah. I guess maybe. I don't, it seems a little
and fame and fable.
Yeah. Well, baseball is filled with that. Now, you had I was going to do this ignoble award, but just because Verlander, you know, I mean, the Tigers' rotation. I mean, is it too bad? Is it too much that we just keep beating up on the Orioles and the Tigers? Because no. They have 11 pitchers they've started this year, and they have a combined 16-53 with 5.26 ERA, which puts them totally in the running to break the record for lowest winning percentage by any AL rotation since earned runs became a stat.
Wow. Which has been a while.
The leaderboard, the A's, the Athletics in 1919... 28-96. The Tigers right now are 16-53. So their winning percentage is slightly better. It's at 232. 1919 A's, 226. And then you got to go back to the 2003 Tigers, 236 winning percentage. Now, until they beat the White Sox in game two of a doubleheader last Tuesday, the entire Tigers rotation had as many wins combined as their old buddy Verlander had by himself with 15. And that's the even more challenging feat, as you could probably imagine. In fact, in the last 110 years, only three teams have pulled that one off. That would be the 62 Mets. Don Drysdale that year had 25 wins, and the Mets rotation did.
It's like, what, half of their wins that season?
Exactly. The 1919 A's, as we talked about, and the 1916 A's with the when Grover Cleveland Alexander had 33 wins. Now, wow. I mean, 33 wins is pretty insane, but
it won't happen again.
Probably not. No,
pitchers aren't even starting 33 games anymore.
They start about 32, I guess. Yeah, you're right. Yeah, maybe there'll be like a game 163 or something, and the guy will just win every one of his starts.
Right. Yeah.
He'd have to be 33-0. I guess you're right. Yeah. That's almost as crazy as Johnny Vandermeer's record, which...
yeah, especially since, you know, they're not going past the sixth inning most of the time anyway.
That's true. Now, that brings us to this week's Ig Nobel Award of the Week. I always want to say pigs in space, but... what do you got
it's
from this?
Something a little Mel Brooks about that. I don't know.
Barf?
No. So chew. I chose I wanted to pick on the Red Sox a little bit more.
Yeah,
I mentioned earlier to be a little bit more about Chris Sale, and so this is it. He is the co-winner of the Ig Nobel Award of the Week along with his teammate David Price.
Congratulations, Nippy!
Last weekend, the 3rd and 4th of August was a rough one. For the Red Sox, they got swept the first time in a really long time in a four-game series by the Yankees in Fenway.
They could not afford that.
And their two biggest pitchers, the aforementioned Price and
Chris
Sale.
Right.
Their combined line for the weekend, 6.1 innings pitched.
Okay, so far so good.
18 hits allowed.
Oof.
15 earned runs, 2 Oof. Walks, 4 home runs allowed. And if you're playing at home, that is an ERA of 21-32.
Ouch.
Yeah, that's not great for a couple $30 million a year pitchers.
Yeah. Yeah, that
against,
definitely wins.
Against your arch rival at home.
Yeah, that that's pretty rough.
It is pretty rough. Wow. Couldn't happen to a nicer team.
Was that the nail in the coffin? I mean, they are, you know, ridiculously behind now. But was that it? Did that just seal their fate, that series? Could you almost put their whole season
For the division, in a nutshell? Right, for there? The division, I would
I mean,
say
they're
probably
15
yes.
back. They're 15 back as it stands right now.
I mean, and you know, again, stranger things have happened, but yeah, I don't see it happening.
Where are they in the wild card right now? They are 5.5 back. So, yeah. I mean,
let's say
if you're a Giants fan, you think, oh yeah, that's definitely doable. But if you live in the real world, sadly, no, I don't think so.
Kyle,
Shazam!
No,
You don't have anything to say after that. I mean, it's pretty outstandingly horrific weekend.
It's pretty bad. It's pretty bad. Now, real quick, because we brought up Ted Williams, and it's hard to leave a episode without talking about Mike Trout. I guess we did kind of talk about Mike Trout a bit, but you know, he's leading the American League currently in OPS. He also led OPS last year.
Right.
He also led OPS the year before. So how long has it been since anybody led the AL in OPS 3 years in a row?
Probably Ted Williams.
Right. Nobody has done it since Ted Williams, from 46 to 49. He actually did it 4 years in a row. The last guy before him?
Babe Ruth.
Right on the money. That's right. 6 years in a row. 26 to 31. And also 7 years in a row from 18 to 24, which is just insane. And the last time before Babe? Ty Cobb. That's okay. Pretty elite.
Yeah, no, that
right
is
there.
Some rarefied air for sure.
I mean, it's just, I think we're witnessing history, but we're not even witnessing it because nobody watches Angels games, so it's kind of a shame.
It really is. It really is.
But we'll at least be able to get to tell the younger generation. Yeah, we saw him. Because, I mean, I've seen him a few times, I guess, in person, but, you know, it would be great to see him in a postseason, wouldn't it?
It would. I would think, you know,
The Angels are the Mets. The Angels are like the West Coast Mets. It's like they, on paper, they look pretty good. Like they don't, it doesn't really make sense why they can't get out of their own way. I mean, they even look better because they have the greatest player of today. They have the best hitter of yesterday and maybe the greatest hitter of tomorrow, right? And
right.
Ohtani. All on the same team, not to mention Justin Upton. I mean, they're... Yeah.
On paper, they look like a really dangerous team. You don't want to play these guys, but in reality, they've been underwhelming.
They have, and it's not even that they're in a tough division, because obviously
they are,
but they're not even getting close. So I don't know. Yeah. Maybe one day we'll see. After Mike Trout breaks all the records, and he's decent, but not, you know, he's like Miguel Cabrera.
Maybe he'll finally agree to go to a different team.
No,
so
the Angels start winning. I think that's what's gonna happen. Ohtani's going to be like throwing shutouts and leading the American League in home runs. He's you know, we'll see. Maybe one day.
And we really will have to have some Angels in the outfield for that to happen. Or another rally monkey. I don't know.
Just call me Al.
Yeah, exactly.
All right. That's it. It's too hot. I got to wrap it up. We're already running off the rails a little bit too long today. I'm sweating through my chair right now.
Last week's trivia question was an interesting one. Who is the only position player to have recorded a save?
Who is the only position player ever to record a save?
Correct.
Now, I thought that it was... and actually, Jeremy Shander, I don't know, said what I was thinking, but I think maybe it was a trick question, because I was thinking that it was Sergio Romo, because didn't he was playing third base right? And right. then he came in to pitch, then he got a save. So,
but I do remember that, what you speak. But Sergio Romo is still a regular pitcher, and he was just playing third base so that he wasn't out of the game and could come back.
Right.
So he had been pitching and things, it doesn't count because he's not a regular position player. He is a regular pitcher.
Okay. All right. So that's strike one.
But it is a decent guess. I can give you that for points for creativity, but still an incorrect answer.
Well, that's good because Michael Gambinorio says easiest question yet, guys. Steve Wilkerson. Well, yeah.
Yes.
Yeah, because it's only happened once. I mean, it only happened once, and it just happened.
So 2 days before we recorded that episode, when I asked this question,
and if you're an Orioles fan, as Michael apparently is, that was too easy.
Yeah. It's about time we have another winner. This is only our second correct answer from a listener.
That's right. Is it the second or is it the third?
I think you're right.
I think it's the second.
You can go back to the archives and look it up. But.
Yeah, well, there you go.
Well, come on in for a beer and a T-shirt.
Yeah, next time you're in the Second Sin City, yeah, hit us up, email us, baseballshowpodcast@gmail.com. Let us know. Now, what do you have for me this week?
This week, I believe that you had a much better question this week than I had.
That's right.
Glad I'm not the only one with scrambled brain today.
Damn disgrace!
All right. I know. I'm sorry. Okay. This week's trivia question: who led his league in hits for three different teams? Ooh, you see that? That's not as easily Googleable.
This is a good question. I came up with a couple of names, but I know the names that I first came up with didn't really play for three teams, so it can't be possible. But
can it not be possible? Oh, well,
the first name that I thought of course was Pete Rose, but I only played for two teams.
Was it only two? He didn't play for three?
I don't believe so. If someone knows differently, let us know. But as far as I know, he only played for the Reds and the Phillies.
Yeah, okay. There was never like a Padres stint in there or something?
I don't think so. Right. I could look it up, but I really don't think so.
Who led his team? His league. Sorry.
His league.
We apologize. Send your hate mail to baseballshowpodcast@gmail.com. Who led his league in hits for three different teams? Let us know. This is a pretty good one.
It'll make you think.
All right. Pete Rose. Let's see. Cincy. Philly. Ooh. What is Toronto? Expos. Oh, he played for four teams?
Huh.
For a quick minute. He played for Toronto and Montreal and Cincinnati in 1984. So I don't know if that counts.
Technically, but no.
All right. Until next week. I am Adam Nelson.
And I am Samuel Paul. Remember, baseball is life. The rest, it's just details.
Go watch some baseball.